Happy Saturday, Nashville, and welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Konezvic. Junie Riddle is live from the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Also joined with Jared Cassidy. If you want to weigh in on the show, we're going to discuss a bunch of different topics: the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Titans, the NFL as a whole. You can weigh in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Guys, how are we doing today? I feel like I'm still in vacation mode. Junie, how are we doing this morning?
Doing really good. We had a big event last night for our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, Free Beer and Hot Wings Show. It was a good time. You and Ryan were there for a little bit. I know y'all cut out a little bit early because y'all had just gotten back from New York City, which is understandable. But it was great, and I actually got to drop the cast off to the airport this morning, so got to chat with them a little bit one-on-one. So really cool group, really fun night, and getting ready for some great NFL football this weekend for the Final Four to see who's going to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yes, very exciting. Jared, what about you? How are we doing today?
Doing fantastic as always, and just another wonderful Saturday here. Excited to talk about what's going on in the sports world, locally and nationally. But so much to get into, like Junie said. It's coming down to the end, guys. Football's almost over.
I think we legitimately this year have the best four teams. I don't think any of these teams getting to the conference championship is fluky at all. And I think no matter which way you look at it, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised by any of these four teams winding up winning the Lombardi when it's all said and done.
You know, Junie, I love that point that you just made, because I think I brought this up on Chase and Michelle earlier last week. And we were discussing, you know, sometimes you see a team, you know, get the one seed. Like, for instance, when the Tennessee Titans, yes, they fairly got the one seed. Did I think that they were, you know, the best team in the AFC? No, I didn't. You know, when they got it last year, sometimes you'll see a team be able to sneak in or something like that. But I truly agree with you. I truly do think that these are the four best teams. And I've been going back and forth with myself in my head on, you know, who I think is going to win, or predictions in my head of how I think the games are going to plan out. I think for the AFC championship game, I can see, I think I know it's going to, I know how it's going to turn out. But, you know, the NFC, I keep going back and forth. I know we always make our picks at the end of the show at 10:45, presented by Superbook Sports, and we will do that today. But we're going to discuss those matchups as well. We're going to discuss the young quarterbacks in the AFC. But first off, you guys know what we like to do every Saturday morning. We, of course, start with our morning brew. Hit it, Jared.
Taking you around the sports world for the biggest headlines. This is the Morning Brew, presented by Nashville Jam Company on Michelle and Junie.
It is that time, everybody. Grab your coffee, and we are going to give you a rundown on all the biggest topics happening around the Nashville sports world and, of course, the sports world as a whole. Of course, I'm going to start with a little college basketball, because we are starting to transition into some college basketball. The Tennessee Volunteers are now up to second ranked in the AP poll, and they've got a little college game day action today. College game day has had quite the stand in Knoxville. They were there on Thursday for women's basketball for the Lady Vols and the UConn Huskies. I don't know if you all saw this, but an interview kind of went viral of Gino Auriemma just saying something about the officiating in Thompson Bowling Arena. That kind of went a little out of hand. UConn did leave with the dub, but that's always a big matchup, will forever be a big matchup because of what Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma have done for just the game of women's college basketball as a whole. So they had game day there. Then today they also have game day. It's Tennessee and Texas facing off. And then game day is actually driving up to Lexington to then cover Kentucky, Kansas. I thought this was just really awesome that college game day is doing that. We rarely see them hit two cities in the same day for two big college basketball matchups. And then also, you know, they don't do college game day much for the women's basketball games. So I thought it was just pretty awesome that they did, you know, double duty in Knoxville this weekend, I guess you could say, Jan.
Yeah, and for me, you know, one of my best friends, Rodney, his sister played for Baylor, so I actually got to watch Geno up and close one time. Really fun to watch high-level women's basketball, and I think it's become more and more popular as the sport has progressed. The skill, especially in the last couple of years, has grown immensely, and I really do know some people that prefer to watch the women's game over the men's game at times. But yeah, no, big matchup between UT and UConn, especially with Pat Summitt. I mean, she's a legend within herself. So that iconic matchup, really good. But, you know, Geno whining, that's nothing new. Even when he gets the win, I feel like it's never good enough for him. You know, back when, again, my buddy's sister played for Baylor, you know, they kind of had like a rivalry with UConn because it was two of the biggest, you know, women's basketball programs. So we always like to throw some digs there for old Geno, but he is the greatest to ever do it there in the women's game. But some big time college basketball matchups today. Tennessee, man, they're having a really good season. I know they lost one to your Kentucky Wildcats a few weeks ago, but you know, it seems like they've kind of turned around after that loss and really got their got their P's and Q's in order.
Yes, they have. Coming off of some big wins. And now we got the SEC Big 12 championship games. Like those, the cross series to me are one of my favorite things about college basketball is just teams mm-hmm. playing different teams. Like you got Kentucky, Kansas tonight. Like that's two blue blood programs in college basketball in different conferences. And they've met up several times throughout the championship series. Mm-hmm. But to have it as a regular season, like, man, you can't ask for much more than that.
Well, and especially in this time of the year, you know, this is like mid-January going into February. Like, this is at times, you know, where teams are really starting to, one, find their identity, trying to get into rhythm, into a role, preparing for February and March. This is where, you know, teams really start to get it together. So this is going to be a big test for Kentucky and Lexington tonight. And then also you talk about two top 10 teams, Texas and Tennessee, UT versus UT. Which UT is going to come out on top? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to have some
– the first one, it's gonna, the real one.
It's going to have some semblance when it comes to seeding in March. So a lot of, you know, a lot of big stuff. And I feel like Kentucky tonight does Kentucky have to get a win tonight against Kansas, Michelle?
I think they can.
Well, I know they can because they're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. But, Michelle, like, do you see this as a must-win for the Wildcats?
I mean, I kind of hate the term must-win. I know we throw it around all the time. It definitely would, you know, help boost their resume, especially right now they're kind of sitting outside of the 68 on all, you know, the brackets and things like that. But, you know, they look pretty bad at the beginning of the season, but – I went and actually saw them in Memorial the other night when they were here to play Vanderbilt. And I would say that's probably the best the team has looked. And it was kind of a blessing in disguise when they went to go to Tennessee and they were forced to play a different lineup because two starters were out because this lineup has been rolling and it's been their starting lineup moving forward. But yeah, a really exciting time for, you know, college basketball, especially for both of those two teams. Actually, you know, I was having this conversation with Chase and Caroline, and I know we kind of are off on a tangent now, but quickly we were talking about how, you know, we wish we could see, and with the 12 team playoff, we will eventually get to see it, but some different matchups in college football, just because, you know, non-conference schedules in college football, every game matters so much. We never get to see it, but it does get me a little bit more excited for a 12 team playoff and being able to see some matchups that we haven't been able to see. We see them in basketball a lot, but haven't been able to see them in football. Guys, switching over to the Nashville Predators, they get a win over the Devils the other night. They're kind of on a win streak. Now they're off for the All-Star break, so they will have 2 weeks off, no practice, no media, anything like that. And then we will be in the home stretch. The Preds are slowly but surely creeping up on their chances to make the playoffs. They're in a good position right now, but we're looking rough for a bit, but after they had that team meeting that David Poile alluded to the other day, it kind of seems like this team has been able to figure out some things. Some of the main guys like Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene have been able to be more productive for this team. And even some of the young guys too, like Cody Glass, Yusuf Parsman. So the Nashville Predators will be on this All-Star break right now. Today we've got the AFC and the NFC. Well, sorry, this weekend, not today. This weekend we've got the AFC and NFC championship games, which is so exciting because we're just one step closer to see who will win the Super Bowl, but also a little bittersweet because I'm like, darn, wild card weekend's the best because you get two games on Saturday and then Sunday. And now I just feel like I'm waiting. You know, we got some college basketball games today, but the sports watching on the weekends is slowly but surely dwindling in the football area of things. And then also, you know, the Tennessee Titans are still waiting to name an offensive coordinator. We've seen some different names be thrown around there. We've seen different guys receive jobs, former offensive line coach. Keith Bullock will be the new O-line coach with the New York Jets. We also saw Mike LaFleur. He will be the new OC for the Los Angeles Rams. Junie, I don't know about you, but I kind of thought that maybe we would have known who the Tennessee's OC was by the end of this week, but looks like we're going to go another week. And by not knowing who it is, in my head, it makes me think that, you know, Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy could be more viable options than I thought before. Just considering that we're still unaware who's going to wear that hat next year.
Yeah, I mean, they truly could just be focused on what the Chiefs have going on right now. I'm still speculating. I see Nagy more as an option than I do Eric Bieniemy. So I feel, especially because Nagy is, I believe he's a quarterback's coach for Kansas City at this moment. And he has been an OC in the past, and he's been a head coach. And I think it would be a really good opportunity for him to kind of come here and try to help rebuild what, you know, the Titans have already established. And, you know, with this being a really kind of turning point for this offense, I mean, it's really kind of like a speculation as, is this a good job or not? And I feel like you got to find the right candidate with the right mentality to take on what Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have to do. So, I mean, I would love it if Matt Nagy got the opportunity. I think he was a really good OC. I think he started off at Chicago as a really good head coach, and unfortunately things didn't pan out for him because, you know, they really didn't have the right quarterback there in Chicago.
I mean, so, he won Coach of the Year. Everybody thinks it was just such a – I mean, don't get me wrong. It got really bad towards the end, but I mean, just because you don't aren't successful as a head coach doesn't mean you can't be a successful OC.
And oh, no, 100%. I mean, he went 12-4 with Mitch Trubisky, and they were the number two seed. And they were They weren't the two seed. They were the three seed because they lost to Philly off the double doink, which, you know, Bears fans don't like to hear about. But I mean, that was a really, really good Bears team, and you know, Nagy, I feel like, has that Andy Reid offensive scheme, and if you give him the right quarterback and the right weapons, I feel like that could be utilized well. And I just feel, you know, where they were as an organization with the Bears, it was just kind of bad timing. And then with Justin Fields and the lack of, you know, protection and the lack of weapons that they have, I mean, he was just kind of set up for failure there because the organization decided to go with Mitch Trubisky in 2017 rather than going with Patrick Mahomes or, you know, Deshaun Watson.
In addition to offensive coordinator, a decision the Tennessee Titans need to make, Rand Carthon has a lot of decisions he needs to make, and Mike Vrabel also does. You know, heading into the AFC, NFC championships this weekend just means it's one step closer to the Super Bowl and just means it's one step closer to the NFL draft. And the Tennessee Titans in this offseason, getting a scouting teams together, figuring out which way they want to go with this team. Junie and I are going to discuss that all on the other side. What are some big decisions Rand Carthon needs to make, and what players will be with this Tennessee Titans team next year? You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy, live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Our show is presented by the Nashville Jam Company and Superbook Sports. Listen, we've got a bunch of games that we're going to be picking later today in the show, 10:45, when we will make our picks presented by Superbook Sports, help you guys win a little money. If you want to watch us streaming, you can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, everyone. Junie, I alluded to this a little bit earlier in the Morning Brew segment, and just throughout, you know, our conversations ever since Rand Carthon got named, you know, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He had his introductory press conferences, and he's been doing some media here and there, just discussing how he's thankful to be with this organization, why he chose the Tennessee Titans. And he also touched on you know, his experience drafting. He was Rand Carthon earlier discussing his experience drafting.
Your experience coming on the pro side, how much draft side experience did you get in the last 2 years with the elevation in San Francisco? And can you talk us through how much, while you're on the pro side, you were involved in the draft, or is that going to be a big jump for you?
No, so I've been predominantly pro by title. So I've had draft experience since I've come into this league. You know, just, again, under people who understood my skill set and allowed me to grow from that space. So director of pro, pro scout, those have just been my titles, but not necessarily my job.
So that was Rand Carthon at his opening press conference discussing, you know, what his experience was in San Francisco drafting and, you know, how is that transition going to be being the head guy here with the Tennessee Titans? And I think one of the misconceptions that a lot of people had was, you know, his title was, you know, director of pro scouting, right? But he mentions there, okay, that was just by title. That didn't mean he wasn't involved in, you know, scouting college guys and different things like that. So, you know, I think, Junie, one of the biggest hits is going to be the fact that Rand Carthon, you know, I know he's going to be the GM here, so he'll be focusing more on, you know, the top draft picks. But one of the reasons he's been so successful in his careers is because he's been focusing on guys who are lower in the draft. And if you look at the San Francisco's team, you know, that is the team that the Tennessee Titans wants to, you know, emulate, because they've been able to build a roster and have depth on this roster and be able to get guys like George Kittle, who was the late, who was a late round guy who is now probably one of the best tight ends in the league, right? Brock Purdy is the perfect example, right? They don't just look at those lower rounds and think, okay, you know, like maybe we'll get some production out of this guy. They hit on those guys. And the way you're able to build a roster from, you know, bottom up, I guess you could say, is you have to hit on every single round, not just the first couple of rounds. And Vrabel even said it too. He said, you know, you can give anybody really the first, the second round. Everybody knows, right, the top 100 guys at probably each position. But the important part of drafting and building a roster is being able to hit consistently on the guys lower in the draft.
And I agree with that, because that adds a lot of depth. And that was something that was wrong with this Tennessee Titans team mm-hmm. this past season, was the lack of depth. When injuries started to fluctuate on this roster, that's when you started to see the woes and started to see the 7-game losing streak. I mean, it's a big part of it. And, you know, 40% of this league is undrafted. So there's a lot of guys out there with talent that just haven't, you know, figured it out yet mentally and haven't reached that point to where they're starting to put everything together as a football player. It just comes at different times for different players. And I think the one thing that this Titans team has done is taken what they get and make their players better than what they are. The problem is the last couple years, they just haven't hit on their draft picks. You bring a guy in that's really good at scouting, really good at bringing in analytics and different aspects into your organization and into your draft room, and try to get you know, more of a team collective. Because, you know, Paul Kaharsky said something, and I think it was on Robbie and Rex Road, either this week or the week prior with you all, about how, you know, John Robinson might have had a little bit of an ego and surrounded himself with yes men. I think the difference is Rand Carthon is going to try and pull from, you know, his scouting team, his analytics guys, the coaching staff, and try and really get the right guys with the right attitude and the right fit that these coaches, who have done a really good job of taking lesser talent and elevating them and putting them into good situations to really try and beef up this team.
Well, and I think, you know, when Paul made that comment on Robbie and Rex Road on Wednesday, Chase and I discussed it later in our show, Junie, and I'm glad you brought that point up there, because, you know, I think it's important to hit on, because, you know, John Robinson, when he got here, he was able to do, right, some incredible things for this franchise, right? Turn it around, turn it into a winning culture. And, you know, you can't not mention what this Tennessee Titans organization has been able to do and just create the winning culture without mentioning John Robinson's name. But you know, Paul Gaharsky, he has a lot of sources within the organization, and I really don't think he would just say that on our show if he didn't have any merit to it, on J-Rob having a lot of yes men underneath him and really, you know, feeding, I guess you could say, that ego, or just feeling like, you know, you have the power, you know best. And I mean, people can see that when people get in places of power. And I think that actually might be one of the biggest reasons that, you know, Vrabel and Amy and Rand Carthon have, you know, hit on the word collaboration and have beat it in our heads. A part of me was thinking, you know, okay, I get they want to say that word, but are they saying that so much because it wasn't happening before, or it wasn't happening as much before, right? I mean, we see the big decisions on the AJ Brown. We know Vrabel wasn't okay with that.
Yeah, no, I mean, the AJ Brown situation, well, it's complicated with AJ Brown because it's so new and it's so fresh of a trade. Yeah. We don't necessarily know what that's going to wind up being, but, you know, if Vrabel, as the head coach, was adamant about bringing this guy back, and it was more of a John Robinson decision that, you know, because he is the GM, because he was basically the guy in the organization that held the power, that had the quote-unquote last say, mm-hmm. then, yeah, that could cause problems, and that can cause disruptions, especially with how it panned out, because I don't necessarily think that the AJ Brown trade was an awful trade like it's being made out to be. I just think the Titans made the wrong moves around the trade. I mean, you got a first and a third round pick, and you turned that into Treylon Burks and Malik Willis, you know, and we've seen how that panned out. Treylon Burks is quite often banged up. He hasn't really been readily available. And then Malik Willis is not the, you know, borderline first-round pick that a lot of scouts and a lot of media were making him out to be last year. So, you know, with a guy like Rand Carthon, he understands that at the end of the day, it has to be a really good relationship between him and Mike Vrabel. He said it himself. He's not the one out there on the sidelines calling plays. If you don't believe in the vision of your head coach and what he's trying to install in your team, then you have the wrong guy. You have to believe in your coach. You have to believe in the system, in the way that he's trying to build his team, and go out and get his guys. And I think from where Rand Carthon is coming from, I like the direction that they're going with and trying to get everybody involved rather than having a guy like John Robinson. And again, didn't like the firing at the time, but, you know, if he was really, you know, I'm the man, I'm making the called shots here, I have the final say, what I say goes, and, you know, people in his ear are, you know, kind of going along with that, then maybe this could be a good turnaround for this team.
Well, and Judy, I agree with you, right? I didn't like the firing at the time either. And I can kind of relate it to, you know, when Mike Mularkey got fired and people were like, why is he getting fired, right? Like, they just went to playoffs, you know?
No, they won a playoff game too.
Yeah. But then you go ahead and you hire Mike Vrabel and you see people, well, he's a young coach. I mean, he doesn't really have a lot of experience, but you see what he's been able to do, right? And I look at this John Robinson firing and I'm like, why is he getting fired, right? And of course, we've been, you know, speculating it and discussing it for the last couple of weeks now. But, you know, this hiring in Rand Carthon could be, you know, the difference. And it could end up turning out really, really well. And, Duny, you touched on something, you know, about Malik Willis and how he was part of the AJ Brown trade, right? You get the first round pick and the third round pick. And Malik Willis was a guy who they drafted in the third round who they thought, you know, okay, we can develop him. He can sit behind Tannehill for 1 year and then he can be the starting quarterback for us. But we saw how that panned out this year. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. And the Tennessee Titans have a lot of questions at that quarterback position, especially with all of this quarterback movement we've seen these last couple years. So I ask you, Titans fans, who do you think will be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year? Use our text line 615-737-1025. Junie and I will give our thoughts on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show, 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. Discussing the Tennessee Titans, who do you think will be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year, or who do you want to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans next year? Earlier this week, Trevor Maddich spoke on what he thinks Ryan Tannehill's future could look at. Here was Trevor Maddich.
Are you moving off of Ryan Tannehill if you're the Titans?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because when you look at who they might bring in, you've got to ask how much better than Tannehill will they be? And this offense is still Derrick Henry. And if they upgrade the offensive line like they should have done more successfully over the last couple of years, and if they're able to bring in some pass catchers that could actually be an honest-to-goodness threat, then Derrick Henry runs the show. And Tannehill is handing off and throwing play action. That's what you want. And really, would any of those quarterbacks be that much better than Tannehill and handing to Derrick Henry and throwing play action? And the answer to that, I think, is probably not that much. If you look at the very best of them. And Tannehill already kind of knows what's going on. I don't know that the offense will be that much different with a new offensive coordinator. Certainly the focus shouldn't be that much different. So to me, instead of expending too many resources, whether it's in trade or whether it's in salary cap or whatever it might be, to replace Tannehill, I think they should focus those resources on the line and the receivers and get Henry to where he needs to be, and then Tannehill will be an all-pro.
So that was Trevor Maddich earlier this week on Stillman & Company discussing that he thinks the Tennessee Titans' best option at quarterback next year will be Ryan Tannehill. So, Junie, I open the floor to you because I know you have strong thoughts on this.
I don't think so. And again...
Wait, sorry. Let me refresh it. Are you saying you don't think he's the best option, or you don't think that he will be the quarterback?
So if you asked me to bet on this and I was to put money, I would say that likely I feel that he's going to be the guy going into 2023. You know, they already have him on contract, and I think as an organization, they want to do the best they can to compete, because I feel like they still think they have a shot with this core group. I just disagree with that. And what was the one thing that I was screaming to you going like throughout the entire offseason about this team? I was saying they need to build the offensive line. They need to build the offensive line. They lost a bunch of guys last year. This offensive line isn't going to be reliable, and it wasn't. And it got even worse with injuries. And they were playing with basically a practice squad at the end of the year. For me, I want to see this team this year try and build around the quarterback position. And I think when you look at Ryan Tannehill, his age, where he's at, where he ranks among some of these young and up-and-coming AFC quarterbacks, I think it would be better to move off of him and try and build up this roster to be quarterback ready, and then try and go, whether it's free agency, whether it's making a trade, whether it's, you know, drafting a guy, to try and go and get your guy for the following year. But this, there's so much this team needs. And I feel like if you run it back with Tannehill and Henry, it's only going to delay the inevitable. And I feel like a lot of people have said, well, Vrabel's not going to make it through a rebuild. I don't know if Vrabel's going to make it if they continue to go with Tannehill and Henry, because they're not going to give you those results either. So, in my opinion, I think the Titans' best move is to move off Ryan Tannehill this offseason.
Okay, so who would you have at starting quarterback? Who would be the quarterback?
So if you're trying to compete, you go out and try and get Tom Brady. That's what I would do. But if it's not Tom Brady, I feel that this team should go out and get a bridge quarterback. I really do. And you look at the three teams that are in the conference championship right now. In 2020, the Philadelphia Eagles went 4-11-1. The San Francisco 49ers went 6-11. And in 2019, the Bengals went 2-14. okay? Sometimes having a bad year with a good core roster, which those teams had, they were just, you know, they were down quarterbacks, whether it was injury or guys didn't pan out, they were in a transition year. Sometimes having a transition year and building up your roster around the quarterback position and then going and getting your guy will lead to these results to where you are competing for a Super Bowl. And I think that the Titans have enough talent on this team to not do a complete rebuild, but take 2023, build up the roster, and then try and go get your guy the following year. And whether that's a Mitch Trubisky, a Baker Mayfield, one of these lower level, you know, starters, borderline backup guys, that's what I would do and try and go get your guy in 2024.
So I understand what you're saying there, June, but here's my thought on it. Well, first, if you go and get Brady, you're going to be winning games. So, you know, when you talk about, okay, building up the roster, well, let's just talk about the Brady scenario for a second, then we'll get to the Bridge one. So, you know, if you get Brady, you're probably going to be on a one-year deal. Like, it's basically just like a go for it final year, you know, like, I don't even know what Brady's future is going to look like. Nobody does. I don't even think he knows at this point, right? So if you go get Brady, right, you are trying to win. If you are, you know, giving up whatever, trying to get him, trying to get other weapons around him, you are trying to win. You're trying to win a Super Bowl. That's your go for it. You know, you're mortgaging a lot. You're giving some big contracts out. You're trying to get as much as you can in order to, you know, have a full go for it. All your cards are on the table. Okay. So if that happens, then you have a winning record. Then you're like assuming a push for the Super Bowl. So then in 2024, you're probably not going to have a lot of draft capital, and you're probably not going to be able to choose a quarterback because you're not going to be bad enough to be picking at the top of the draft. If you take a look at the bridge quarterback situation, you know, you get a guy. I think my problem with the bridge quarterback situation, I understand what you're saying, Junie, but I think one of the most difficult things about this team is that their offense and their defense are in two completely different situations. Their defense, I would classify it as a top, when healthy, a top five defense in the NFL. And then we saw them performing at that when they were healthy earlier this season. But then the difference between the defense and the offense of this team is like night and day. And I think that's the hardest part of looking at it and looking at a potential tank with a bridge quarterback, because you're still going to not want to have to get to the playoffs, because then you're not even going to be in the top to be able to pick for one of those top quarterbacks.
Yes, but I mean, you can always trade up with assets if you know your guy. Correct. And you have your roster and set. I mean, when the Chiefs went and got Patrick Mahomes, you know, Alex Smith was a borderline MVP candidate. You know, they were picking up in the mid-20s. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to be picking in the mid-20s. I think they're going to be more or less in the upper teens next year if they do try and go out and compete to make the playoffs. So with that said, they're still able to go up and trade. And I just see so much depth at the quarterback position. And again, anything can change. But I see the 2024 QB class as one of those QB classes that have a lot of special in it. You know, we saw it a few years ago with, you know, the class with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa. I think this is one of those classes to where there's going to be a couple guys. And I feel like after this offseason, there might not be as many QB needy teams. If the Titans are one of those teams and they can put themselves midway through the draft, anywhere between picks number 10 to number 15, which I think that they're going to wind up being, they can easily make a package deal to a team that already has their quarterback and try and trade up in the draft to go get a Caleb Williams, a Drake May, even Deion Sanders' son. I think he's going to light it up at Colorado this year, and I think he's going to be an interesting dual threat prospect going into 2024. There's going to be a lot of options, and I think that when you see the success, especially, you know, Rand Carthon coming from the 49ers, Brock Purdy is not an enormous talent. You know, he's 6'1". He's not really tall. He doesn't have a really big arm. He's not very mobile. There's really nothing about his game that screams special. But when you put a quarterback like that, even if he is Mr. Irrelevant, you put him in a right situation with a really good O-line, a top-five defense like you had just mentioned, He is going to be set up for success because not everything's going to be put on his shoulders. So, again, they may not end up being in place to get one of these guys and be bad enough to be able to draft them, but they can always trade up to go get their guy. And that's what I think that good teams do. They got to be strategic about this, and I think going with Ryan Tannehill again after we've just seen some steady decline ever since their really big run in 2019, it hasn't gotten any better. And I just think if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and trying to expect a different result, that's literally the definition of insanity. And I don't think Titans should be doing that.
And I, you know, I get what you're saying, and, you know, I get, okay, you can just trade up and go and get one of those guys, but, you know, a Caleb Williams or a Drake May, you know, everybody's probably thinking that, right? Everybody, those are like the two top names. And I know you mentioned, right, you can luck out with another guy, but even just looking at, you know, the top 10 picking in the draft this year, okay, you got the Bears at one, they don't need a quarterback. Texans, they need a quarterback. Cardinals, they don't need one. Colts, they need one. Seahawks, they need one. Detroit Lions.
Seahawks need one?
Yes.
You think, I mean, their quarterback went off a Pro Bowl year.
Well, no, my point is, you know, they have Geno right now, but Geno is like older in the league. Of course, they're going to want to draft one, you'd think.
No, and I think that's what's best. And I compiled a list of the last 15 Super Bowl winners. And when you look at this list, they're either on rookie deals, they're either franchise peripheral top five quarterbacks, or there's one anomaly, which is Nick Foles. And you could say Joe Flacco. You could say Joe Flacco. But Joe Flacco was an NFL starter for the Ravens for 10-plus years.
Okay, okay, let me keep going really quick. Okay, so that's three. You got Raiders, four. You got Falcons, five. You got Panthers, six. Not the Eagles. Tennessee Titans, seven. You know, Jets, eight. Patriots, iffy, nine. Packers, don't know about Jordan Love. What I'm looking at right now is, you know, those are just the top 15 teams in the draft this year. There's really three prime guys this year, right? It's C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis. You can, however you view them, whatever order you want to view them in, right? Okay. So the way I'm looking at it is, you know, it's really hard to get those guys, Junie. And I think you made a really good point on, you know, okay, you got to focus on building up the roster because you want to be a team like the San Francisco 49ers who are able to win and who are able to get it to the big dance with a guy who is, I mean, they literally have done it with Mr. Irrelevant. But I have another name that I want to throw out there that I think actually could be a good move for the Tennessee Titans and would be cheaper than paying, you know, a veteran guy to go out and get. We'll discuss that all on the other side of the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome into the Michelle and Junie Show. Happy Saturday, Nashville. Heading on to our last segment of the first hour. We will be live until 11 a.m. this morning discussing the biggest topics around the country, around the football world. We're even going to throw in a little basketball. I want to gauge, you know, how some Tennessee Volunteer fans are feeling.
Yeah.
Ranked second in the country right now. Jared, we're going to want to hear from you. We'll be talking a little Tennessee basketball at 10:30. But right now, discussing the Tennessee Titans and their quarterback situation heading into next year. Junie, I wanted to throw an option out for you.
I'm excited. And
it was one that people, you know, kind of laughed at first. And, you know, I don't really have much merit to this other than last week, the San Francisco Chronicle actually put out an article. And from talking to people within the San Francisco 49ers organization saying, you know, Brock Purdy is our guy moving forward. And that was, you know, the quotes that they got from it. We've obviously seen Brock Purdy, what he's been able to do with this Niners team, a team that is absolutely not just great around him, fantastic around him, and obviously pushing to get to that Super Bowl with Mr. Irrelevant. But what about getting a guy like Trey Lance?
Trey Lance is interesting because I remember watching him in college at North Dakota State, and he had the year, I believe it was in 2019, that he threw for 20-plus touchdowns, ran for 10-plus touchdowns, didn't throw a single interception in the entire game. And again, mind you, this is at North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. The following year, with the COVID year, he didn't get to play much because North Dakota State only played one game. And that was literally just for him to get reps in front of NFL scouts. They did like basically an exhibition game just to get him out in front of people. So he hasn't played a lot of football at all. And we saw him in week one against the Bears, which I don't take a lot away from because, number one, it's week one. Anything can happen. Joe Burrow had 5 turnovers this year in week one, and he's playing to try to go to the Super Bowl for the second year in a row. So it doesn't mean a lot to me. But Trey Lance is such an unknown commodity that Rand Carthon, if he were to make that move, I feel like as a Titans fan, I would be super excited because – if anybody's going to know what this guy is, it's going to be him. Because he was a part of the process. He was in the room when they gave up all that draft capital to be able to trade up. You know, the 49ers had leaked that potentially they were going to go with Mac Jones with that pick. And they ended up taking Trey Lance, which is not really somebody that we've seen fit into Kyle Shanahan's system like that. He's always kind of had the pocket passer, the guy that's going to make the right decisions, not really the mobile quarterback way. So when they took that, it was really interesting. But the fact that he has not played outside of that one game in Chicago,
which,
but, and again, take what you want about the preseason. You've seen a lot of good preseason stories that haven't panned out. So I'm not really going to take a lot from the preseason, but if they do make this trade, it's Rand Carthon saying, this guy could be the franchise guy. I see the qualities in him that he could take it to the next level and be that quarterback, that talent that the Titans haven't had since Steve McNair. I mean, that's how exciting this potentially could be. But the thing is with some of the things that Rand Carthon has said as of late, I don't necessarily know if he's willing to make that move. He said on an interview, I don't know exactly where it was, but he said that the 49ers had progressively gotten better throughout all of their QB changes this year. And that starts with Trey Lance, meaning Jimmy G was playing better than Trey Lance. And that Brock Purdy came in and then played better than Jimmy G. So I don't necessarily know if the signs are telling me that that's the way they're leaning towards. But it would be super exciting to get a young guy that has a big arm, a lot of athleticism on the cheap.
A rookie probably, deal.
Exactly. And with him being such an unknown commodity, I think that they could get him for a second or a third round pick in a trade.
See, that was my take on it too, you know, and when I was discussing it with Chase last week, we heard from a lot of fans and a lot of fans saying, well, we don't want somebody who's, you know, Brock Purdy got his starting job. And, you know, I tried to explain to fans, okay, well, you know, just where somebody goes in the draft process, I know it's very easy to look at that. And that's kind of the bar you set for them, right? If you're the first overall pick, your bar is already set all the way up here, you know, and rather if you go in the fourth round, you're like a little bit, you're down a little bit further, right? But once you get into the NFL, I mean, it really doesn't matter. And once you prove yourself and what you can do, you know, you set your own bar and your expectations. And okay, yeah, Brock Purdy was the last, he was Mr. Irrelevant. And I know that's the biggest storyline ever. But, you know, now he's in the league and people have seen what he's been able to do because he's taken this opportunity and run with it. I mean, the best example is freaking Tom Brady, right? And I know that Tom Brady is one in a million, right? I mean, what he's been able to do, nobody will probably ever do it again in our lifetime, win that many Super Bowls and be that successful. And people said, well, if they think Trey Lance is the guy, then why would they go with Brock Purdy? And, you know, the way I look at it is, okay, well, this is a guy, right? He's still on a rookie deal. You know, yeah, they mortgaged a lot for Trey Lance, but the injuries and maybe Rand Carthon is so sure that this guy is going to be an it dude somewhere and you have the connection and, you know, you trade for him. Would Titans fans, let us know, Texas call us. 615-737-1025. Would you rather, you know, stay with Ryan Tannehill and, you know, try to rebuild this roster and go get, you know, a Trey Lance and risk it and try to get a guy who potentially could be your franchise quarterback for the next couple of years? Or would you rather just kind of, you know, stay here and you have a solid defense and Ryan Tannehill another year and, you know, you make some additions to the offensive line? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not competing in the NFC. And the luxury of competing in the NFC is they do not have the quarterback talent that the AFC has. And they do not have the quarterback talent right now, at least right now. And for the next couple of years, you know, you don't know who will go where and what quarterbacks will get drafted. But the AFC quarterback talent is pretty much through the roof, right? You've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got Josh Allen, you've got Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett's up and coming. You got Lamar Jackson, you've got
Justin Herbert, Trevor
Lawrence. Justin Herbert, Tua, right? So these are all young studs, right? And now let's look at the NFC. Okay, it's not to that level, right? You've got Geno Smith, you've got Brock Purdy right now, and or Jimmy Garoppolo. You've got, like, you can't even list them off because their names don't weigh as much when talking about quarterbacks in the NFL.
Not even in the same conversation.
And the unfortunate truth is, if you are the Tennessee Titans, you can't just switch conferences, right? You know, yes, you are in one of the worst divisions in the AFC South, but you're in the AFC. And if you want to be able to make it to the Super Bowl, you need to be able to beat in back-to-back weeks a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen. You need to be able to beat those guys just to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, when you talk about quarterbacks and you talk about, well, you can do it, your team is great around them. When you're in the AFC, you need to be able to beat these guys back to back to back. And it's just the unfortunate truth of being in the AFC versus the NFC right now. We're going to discuss this a little bit further because we got a lot of texts on our text line. And we will discuss those coming up on the other side. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.